Hey, this is Stacey Gatsoulias.
DC Lundberg.
Ryan Finkelstein.
Taylor Blake Ward.
Host of Locked On Yankees.
Locked On Mariners.
Locked On Mets.
Locked On Angels.
And you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Everybody, welcome to another episode of Locked On Braves, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network and our friends at Rock Auto, here for you like your car is here for you. Take care of your car the way it's taken care of you all of these years. Go to rockauto.com today and by our friends at Built Bar. Yes, Built Bar is back. Really, really good sales last time. If you're looking for a fantastic protein bar, if you're looking for something that's great for pre-workout, post-workout, just a snack so you're not eating a bag of chips, go to BuiltBar.com. You can customize what flavors you want. All of the flavors are delicious. I speak from experience. Go to BuiltBar.com today. All right, everybody. So, Braves come off the doubleheader yesterday after losing on Saturday. And what a doubleheader it was as the Braves take both games of the doubleheader yesterday behind some really, really strong offense from, I don't know if you've heard of this guy, Ronald Acuña Jr. and Freddie Freeman, both of whom were slumping, I think it's fair to say, were kind of struggling to get going, missing a lot of pitches that they normally wouldn't, both looking a little bit lost at the plate. Well, yesterday, they were both absolutely fantastic. Ronald Acuña with three home runs on the day. Freddie Freeman came up a single short of the cycle, which, if it were nine-inning doubleheaders instead of the seven-inning doubleheaders, who knows what might have happened. But overall, outstanding showing by the Atlanta Braves, outstanding showing by not just the offense, but also by two pitchers, one of whom getting his very first start, Wasker Ynoa, who really, he didn't go super long, only two and a third, ended up throwing 39 pitches. That's probably about where they want him. He looked like he was kind of tiring out a little bit. He might not have been fully stretched out, but making his first major league start, and he pitched very well. Two and a third, one hit, one earned run, one walk, and one strikeout. You can expect to see the strikeouts climb a little bit higher. Normally, you know, as a guy that when he's coming out of the bullpen, he'll touch triple digits. He'll touch them pretty consistently and has a hammer curve and a few different pitches to throw with. But as a starter, you got to see him bring in his split finger, which is a pitch that the Braves had previously taken away from him after acquiring him from Minnesota. They wanted him to focus on three pitches. They felt he had too many pitches in his arsenal, and it was keeping him from really progressing with the other three. It was kind of holding him back command-wise, and they figured it was better to have three really good pitches than have six okay pitches. And yesterday, what you saw was one of the reasons why Wasker Ynoa is such an intriguing piece. There are some command issues, as you saw in the third inning, where he kind of started to lose location a little bit. But when he's on and when he's right, he's got some of the best stuff in the system. You got to see a lot of that yesterday. Not afraid to throw his breakers or his split in any count and really in any location on the plate. Has a really good fastball. He was sitting about 90, 94, 95-ish, but he's got more in the tank than that. Looked like he was trying to conserve a little bit and go a little bit longer. He's one of the guys that the Braves have been pretty consistent with doing piggyback starts down in the minor leagues. In Gwinnett last year, he was the starter and Weigel was the opener for him. So it was good to see Wasker Ynoa. I'm a big fan of Ynoa. I really have wanted him to get an actual shot at the rotation instead of being pigeonholed as the quote-unquote closer of the future. He's got that type of stuff, but I think if you allow Wasker, who's only 22, by the way, 6'3", listed at 175, probably closer to 190 by this point. He's a lot thicker. He's probably actually pushing about 205, 210 at this point. He looks pretty thick. You got to see a lot of the deception where he actually went with, he employed three different pitching motions. His traditional one, he quick pitched a few, and he actually employed a double clutch, looking a little bit like Marcus Stroman a little bit yesterday. But a very good first outing for Wasker Ynoa. And that one run he gave up didn't come in until after Tyler Matzek came in, who went another inning in two thirds, allowed two walks, one strikeout as well, as Tyler Matzek still has a 0-0 ERA with a whip under one. Fantastic bounce back for Tyler Matzek. Luke Jackson gets in the game again. We got to see Will Smith for the first time all year. Only came in and faced two batters, walked the first one, got the second one out. Josh Tomlin came in being his usual sterling self, which is one of the weirdest things that I guess I could say for 2020 and for 2019, but Melanson comes in game one, gets his third save of the season. Second game was the game where it was at, where the Braves were matching up against rookie Spencer Howard, making his big league debut, and Howard pitched pretty well for the most part. The Braves did touch him up there, but early on, it looked like Howard was going to have a pretty good outing. Ended up giving up four runs in total. That's a guy that Phillies fans, I know yesterday didn't go exactly how they wanted it to for his debut, but Spencer Howard is a very, very good pitcher and a very intriguing prospect in his own right. Just nothing you can do when Acuna goes 4-for-4 with 3 ribbies and 2 bombs, and Freddie goes 3-for-4 with another homer of his own. Travis d'Arnaud has been electric this whole season. Nice that the Braves have him for another year, as he's currently hitting .385, .393 with a .615 slugging. That's good for a .1008 OPS. Absolutely fantastic what you're getting out of Travis d'Arnaud. Marcelo Zuna kind of picked it up. He'd been going a little bit slow, but he went 2-for-4 yesterday in that second game as well, as Max Fried was just absolutely dynamite yet again. Went 5 innings, kind of ran up his pitch count a little bit. The 5th inning gave him a little bit of trouble, worked his way out of it, ended up at 91 pitches. 4 hits, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts, and the pitches were just moving and darting beautifully for Max. And for Max, this season has really been a very eye-opening thing for not Braves fans, because we know how good Max Fried is. If you guys listen to my show, you know I wax philosophic about him all the time, and it's well-deserved. I don't think that there's another pitcher in the Braves farm system on the team currently or on the team in the future from what we have right now who has the same type of stuff and the same type of potential as Max Fried. I know Fangraphs pigeonholes him as kind of a ground ball guy. They don't think he has elite strikeout potential. I vehemently disagree, much like I did when they rated Victor Robles as a better prospect than Ronald Acuna. I think they're wrong on Max Fried, and I think Max is really showing everybody what he's got. Every off-speed pitch he throws has elite movement. It's just he's just got that special knack for throwing off-speed pitches. And his fastball, it's, you know, it doesn't spin super well. It's actually his worst pitch, but as his changeup gets better and better, his fastball is going to get better and better as well. Yesterday, he was locating beautifully through most of the game, got a lot of swing and miss, got a little bit of help from the umpire, but when you're pitching as well as Max, you tend to get that from some of the umpires. And for the Braves, they've got to be so happy getting that type of start from Max Fried, particularly after Mike Soroka went down. I don't think you're going to lose anything with Max penciled in as the number one. I actually think you gain a little bit. I think Soroka probably would have finished off this season better than Max, but in the long run, I've told you guys before, and I will continue to hammer this hill, and I will plant my flag on this hill that Max will be even better than Soroka. And I say even better because I think Soroka is a well of a player as well. I think the Braves are in excellent hands with those two. It's just the other 3 spots in the rotation they got to figure out. Luckily for the Braves, they've had some really encouraging signs. Kyle Wright had a pretty good day. The 4th inning didn't do him any favors, but was really impressive to see Kyle Wright work out of that trouble, see Snit allow him to keep going and work his way out of that bad 4th inning. The Braves lost 5-0, and Kyle Wright gets charged with 4 runs on the line and 2 homers given up. I did not think one of those was going to get out. Shouldn't have been out before. It was a homer by JT Realmuto. Didn't look like it should have been out, number one. Number two, really shouldn't have had anybody on base at that point. Had a strikeout that didn't get called, and he ended up walking that batter. But for Kyle Wright, it wasn't Tukey's start, obviously. Only 3 Ks for Kyle Wright and 3 walks to go with it. But it was a good learning experience, and I think he pitched very well for the most part. Went up with 91 pitches, which was good for him to see. Got through 6 innings, which was super important. He got through for a while. There's a good signs for Kyle Wright. He's starting to figure some things out. Hopefully he can continue this, because I know the Braves desperately want Kyle Wright to work out. I know they desperately need him to work out. He's a big factor in a lot of their plans. The important thing to note here is you got Newcomb going tonight against Aaron Nola. In the second segment, we'll talk about my keys for Sean Newcomb tonight and what he can do to not only get the Braves a win, but to keep himself going in this rotation spot and make sure that he doesn't get passed up. But for the rest of the rotation, I need more of what we got from Tukey against Toronto. Now, again, I want to see if that Toronto matchup was more just a great matchup or if that was Tukey really taking gigantic leaps forward. We'll see that next week. The Braves have another matchup, as I mentioned, with Philly tonight before they head to New York for a 2-game set with those disgusting Yankees. But all in all, the Braves are 11-6, looking like they're starting to hit on all cylinders. The offense still has a lot of room to grow. Now, yesterday was a great sign for Acuna and Freddie. Both had really excellent days. You haven't really gotten much out of the second base spot, obviously, now with Ozzy on the 10-day IL. I was very happy with Snit. As much as I ragged him for his idiotic excuse for leaving Ozzy in the game, I was very happy and pleasantly surprised to see Camargo playing second and Riley playing third yesterday. And we're actually seeing that same lineup today. The first pitch will be at 6:05 again today. To get Camargo playing time, as both he and Riley both look a little bit lost. Camargo looks like he might be getting a little bit frustrated. I want to see those two get going because, one, I love Camargo. I love his player profile. I love his swing. I love his versatility. I love that arm. I really, really pull for him. Hopefully he can get it going. But for the Braves tonight, keys are going to be get out of there and win the series. I don't want to split the series with Philadelphia. They're not a great team right now. Their bullpen is atrocious. I want to win the series. So before we get too big into looking at tonight's matchup, we'll go ahead and take our first break. When we come back, we'll look at my keys for Sean Newcomb going into tonight's matchup against a guy that really kind of dominates the Braves, Aaron Nola, who has some of the nastiest breakers in baseball. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this on Locked On Braves. It doesn't matter if you're a professional athlete, a stay-at-home parent, or you spend 8 hours a day in an uncomfortable office chair, everyone needs support to make it through the day. This is Dylan Short from Locked On Braves telling you about our good friends at CBDMD. They have an amazing duo that can help you relax, regroup, and recharge your batteries when life gets chaotic. CBD Freeze with Menthol is an award-winning product that offers instant cooling relief for muscles and joints in a convenient and easy-to-use roller or shareable tube. CBD Recover combines CBD with inflammation-fighting compounds like arnica and vitamin B6. Not sure what arnica is, but it sounds pretty awesome to give you the support you need where it matters most. And to make it even easier to try this amazing duo of topicals and everything else CBDMD has to offer, they're offering all of our listeners 25% off the next order when you use promo code LOCKEDONMLB at checkout. Once again, go to cbdmd.com, promo code LOCKEDONMLB for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD oil products from CBDMD. Everybody, welcome back to Locked On Braves. Thank you for joining me on this rainy Monday, which is good for people like me who live off of a well. So I'll be praying for as much rain as we can get, particularly when the Braves aren't here and aren't in any danger of being rained out. Before the break, we talked about a little bit about the matchup coming up tonight with Sean Newcomb versus Aaron Nola. And I do want to focus on my keys for Sean Newcomb in this half. And I'm not even really specifically talking about the keys for Newcomb versus Aaron Nola. These are just keys that you could kind of put these as an evergreen type of keys for Sean Newcomb. The number one thing that I think for Sean Newcomb that he has to be able to do is he's got to stay within himself. Sean Newcomb can't pitch like what we want Sean Newcomb to be or what we hope Sean Newcomb will be when he's a finished product, or he can't pitch like John Lester or John Lackey or any of these other types of comparisons that he's been given. He's got to be Sean Newcomb. For better or for worse, he's got to go out there and he's got to be himself. He's got to pitch his game. We talked a few days ago, that last week he had a good start for him. It wasn't a pretty start, but it was effective. And he left the game with a chance for the Braves to be in the game and win it. Now the Braves didn't, you know, it wasn't a super outing. His pitch count kind of got, you know, raised a little bit. It wasn't a super clean outing. There was base runners kind of all over the place, and he didn't really look like his command was perfect. But as I've mentioned before, there have been pitchers in major leagues that have been able to be effective that way. I talked about Ubaldo Jimenez. Ubaldo Jimenez had a four-year run where he was an outstanding pitcher. And Sean Newcomb can do that same thing. He's just got to be, he's got to stop worrying about doing things the way people want him to do them and just go out there and be Sean Newcomb. That's what got him drafted. That's what got him to really light up a lot of prospect lists and for a lot of people to be giving him the John Lester comps to begin with. He's just got to go out there and throw his game. And if his game is five innings of ugly but effective baseball, then the Braves can take that. We have the bullpen. We have enough players on the roster, but we have a really talented bullpen with a lot of multi-inning guys to where that's not a big deal. The old timers and a lot of people are going to be upset. They want to see everybody go seven innings, eight innings. That might just not be Sean's game. Not every pitcher can do that, and definitely not do that effectively. And for Sean, I think it's when he starts focusing on stuff like that he really gets himself into trouble. He kind of gets out of his own lane. For major league players, it is so paramount to find your role and to be able to define your role in your niche. And for Sean, I think he's still looking for that. He has totally different outings when he's a reliever versus when he's a starter. And that's not uncommon. I mean, before last season, Max Fried was the same way. He was a totally different pitcher in relief versus as a starter. And Sean's got to take the lessons that Max learned, and Sean has to apply them himself, because Sean's not a young guy. He's 27 years old already. He's young as far as baseball years and as far as, you know, prospect life. He's still fairly young, but 30 creeps up on you fast, and it's a much different story if you're talking about this Sean Newcomb at 30 than you are at 27. There's not a lot of time for him to do it, but he's got the stuff to do it, and that's the thing that's so maddening with Newcomb. When you look at his StatCast data, he doesn't have great metrics as far as his batted ball profiles, but he doesn't get hit very hard. He doesn't give up a ton of hits. He does a good job at being unpredictable when he's pitching the way he needs to pitch. He's also got to learn to throw a third pitch more consistently. Even if he doesn't like his changeup as much as his fastball or his curveball, that changeup is very, very important for Sean because it gets hitters off of his fastball. And it is nearly impossible to be a two-pitch pitcher and be a successful starter in Major League Baseball. Hitters are just too good for you to become predictable. And you can see that bearing out, not just in Newcomb's line, but in all of these young guys on the Braves staff. If you take a look at them going forward, what their line is the first time through the order versus the second versus the third, you can tell that a lot of it has to do with really only having two pitches that you're comfortable going towards. And hitters, if you get predictable, hitters are going to absolutely crush you at this level. That's not something you can do. The other key for him, what I think should be paramount in Sean's mind every time he takes the hill, be aggressive. It's no good throttling down to 91 if throttling down is only going to give you okay command. I can understand it if it's going to give you pinpoint command, but Sean doesn't have great command no matter what he throttles to. So don't throttle down to 91. Throw 96. Throw 94, 95, 96. Hitters are aggressive. They're going to chase it. And if Sean, even if he doesn't have his perfect command, if you're throwing 96, hitters are going to be more jumpy than they are at 91. They're going to have to react quicker. It looks a lot faster at 96 than at 91. And if you can do that and he can do that, then he can also effectively pitch inside, even if he's not meaning to hit the inside target. That's part of learning to pitch within yourself. And for Sean, you might have a bad outing being super aggressive, but you could also have a really bad outing being super passive. And for Sean, he does a lot worse. He has a lot worse outings when he's super passive. So for him, just understand, you know, don't worry about the pitch count. Don't worry about a third time through the order. Just go out there and throw the ball. I know Chip and everybody else likes to talk about, oh, we want pitchers, not throwers. Don't worry about any of that right now. Before you can work on being a pitcher or a thrower or blah, 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 you have to be a major leaguer. If you're not good enough to be in the major leagues as a pitcher, but you're good enough to be there as a thrower, do the job. Do what helps you be in the major leagues. Do what helps your team win. And for Sean, it doesn't have to be pinpoint. He's got good enough stuff. He's got good enough break on that curveball. It's actually got almost the same rotation speed as Max Fried's. It's just a different look, and it's not quite as late on the break, but it's got almost as large a rotational spin as Max Fried's. Go out there and do it. He's got to throw that changeup too. I want to see him throw that more. Even if it's not an electric changeup, even if it's not a swing and miss changeup, just to get hitters off of the fastball a little bit and get a bigger speed differential, that's what you look for Sean Newcomb. I'm fine with Newcomb if he never becomes a big K guy. I know we look at the big body lefty that throws upper 90s and think, ah, this guy should strike out everybody. But if he ends up being a ground ball and a soft contact guy, fine. We're not asking him to be the ace of the rotation. Go out there. It's probably a little bit easier for him now that he doesn't have to look over his shoulder quite as much, but he's not all free and clear. We just talked about in the first segment about Wasker and Noah. And Newcomb goes out and lays an egg. I would hazard to guess we could see Noah do the same thing where he comes in and goes two or three innings, and Sean Newcomb comes in behind him. But for Sean, don't throttle it down. I don't care what all the old heads are telling you. Go out there and throw your stuff. And most importantly, and this is something that I've talked about with Newcomb, not really on the air, but off the air, I talk about it with a lot of people, get through two times through the order before you get through three. And this is not just something for Sean Newcomb. This applies to all of the young guys. It applied to Tukey before his Toronto start. It applies to Kyle Wright. You got to get through that second time in the order before you can get through the third. They're a little too conscious of trying to go six and seven innings without getting through that fourth and fifth inning first. That is going to be the key. Win your inning, win your time through the lineup. Win the first time through, which everybody can pretty much do, and Newcomb does very good the first time through the order. Win the second time through before you worry about setting people up for the third time through. Sean does not have the luxury, and he does not have the command at this point in time to think too far ahead. He just needs to go out there and pitch. Just go out there and throw the ball to Travis d'Arnaud or Tyler Flowers, whoever's going to catch him. Just go out there, throw your stuff, and trust your stuff, and trust your defense. This is a good defensive ball club for the Braves, and if Sean Newcomb can go out there and just follow his game, he can give the Braves a great chance to win, even if they're going up against Aaron Nola, who traditionally dominates the Braves. Sean doesn't need to focus on the win-loss right now. He needs to focus on quality and putting his team in a position to win. Even if he's down two runs when he leaves the game, that's still a good start. If it's 2-0 when Sean Newcomb leaves, that's still an excellent outing. Go through, control what you can control, and lean on your defense and your offense. Let them score you some runs. Just go out there and give them a chance to win the game. For Sean Newcomb, I think he can do it tonight. I hope to see it. I'd love to see him take a step forward from last week and really commit to being an aggressive pitcher, whether that means he's going to throw a lot of balls or whether that means he runs high pitch counts and can't get through five innings. Whatever the case is, just go out there and be the best Sean Newcomb that you can be, and the Braves offense that is waking up can handle it. Now, on the flip side, for the Braves offense, you do have to watch out that bender with Aaron Nola. We obviously know how good Aaron Nola can be. The last year or two have not been super kind to Nola. After getting that extension, hasn't had quite the season he had in 2018, but that's okay. Nola's still an excellent, excellent pitcher. I'd expect a good outing from him as well. But this is a Braves lineup that they can hurt him. Now, Nola's got 94 in the tank. He's got that amazing curveball. But this is a Braves lineup that after yesterday, it looked like they're seeing the ball pretty well. And the key for the Braves offense, get Nola out of the game before the sixth inning. You get to that Phillies bullpen, it doesn't really matter how many runs you're behind. You can whoop up on that Phillies bullpen. It's not a good bullpen. And as long as you don't let Nola cruise through and keep a low pitch count, you can get him out of the game and get to that bullpen. So if Nola's got his A-plus stuff tonight, one of the keys for the Braves offense is going to be patient. Now, if the Braves come out and he doesn't have his A-plus stuff, jump all over him. But if he comes out and he's normal Aaron Nola versus the Braves, be patient and run up his pitch counts. He'll get himself out of the game if you do that, even if he comes up with 12 Ks in five innings. If that gets him out of the game in the fifth inning, so be it. You got to do what you got to do. Go up there and be patient and set up the other hitters behind you. I think it should be a good day for the Braves. I'm looking for the Braves to win again tonight, take 3 out of 4 out of the Phillies, and head into New York on a really high streak, and a good thing for Sean Newcomb heading into his next round of the rotation. Thank you guys for joining the episode. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it this dreary, I guess we'll say, Monday afternoon. We'll be back again tomorrow to discuss tonight's game. First pitch, 6:05, Sean Newcomb versus Aaron Nola. Thank you guys. We'll be back tomorrow right here on Locked On Braves.